Okay, so this week it's Parshat Lech Lecha. We'll just have a look at the beginning of Lech Lecha. We're going to be looking at a short discourse which was said in Tavshin Membet 1981 on this Shabbat, Lech Lecha, and it's not Mugah, it wasn't edited by the Rebbe, it's from the many unedited discourses. So it starts off with the beginning of the parsha, that the most of the discourses about Lech Lecha begin with the very first words by Lech Lecha. Vayomer Hashem el Avram, God said to Avram. At this point, that's from the here. If you look on the Chumash part, yeah, so it's like verse 1. That's the beginning of Lech Lecha. So God said to Avram, at this point his name is still Avram. It hasn't yet been changed to Avraham, which will be later on at the end of the Seder. Lech Lecha, go for yourself. It's an interesting phrase, this Lech Lecha, go for yourself, sometimes explain to yourself. Me'atzecha, from your land, u'mimoladetecha, from your birthplace, u'mibeit avicha, and from your father's house, el ha'aretz asher areka, to the land which I will show you. And then continues how God will make Abraham great, and he'll bless him, make his name great, he'll be for a blessing. Those who bless you will be blessed. Mekalelcha a'or. Those who curse him will be cursed. V'nivruchu v'cha kol mishpachot ha'adama. And through you will be blessed all families of the earth. V'yelech Avram ka'asher diber alav Hashem. And Avram went as Hashem spoke to him. And he went. And there he's going towards the land of Israel. He's in the east and he's going towards the land of Israel. So this phrase, Lech Lecha, go from your land, from your birthplace, from the house of your father to the land which I will show you. Now, I'll just notice that Asher Areka, while we're looking at this verse, Asher Areka, the end of verse 1, it could have two meanings. Asher Areka, the land which I will show you. I will show you the land. Or you could translate Areka, I will show you. I'm going to show you off, as it were. I'm going to reveal you. You, Avram, are going to be revealed. So that double way of explaining it is part of the theme. Part of the ideas in this mimer, in this discourse. So in order for us to enter into the mood of the discourse, there's the melody of the discourse. Yamba, yamba, ya, ya, yo, ya, yo. Ha, yiriramba, ya, yiriramba, yom. Ha, ho, ya, yiriramba, ya, ya, ho, ya, yiriramba, yamba, yom. Ho, yiriramba, ho, yiriramba, ho, yamba, ya, ya, yiriramba. Ho, ya, 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 yiriramba. Ho, ya, ya, ho, ya, ya, yo. We now go on to the back of that page, which is the beginning of the discourse. Right, so. Lech lecha me'atzecha, u'mimoladetecha, u'mibeit avicha. Go for yourself. From your land, from your birthplace, and from the house of your father. U'mavar rabbeinu hazaken b'tora'or. Now, Rabbi Shneur Zalman, called the Alter Rebbe, he explains in his book Torah Or, at the beginning of this parsha, The halich hazu yesh ba shnei inyanim. That this movement of Avraham has got two qualities in it. Kamo shekatuv vayelech lemasa'av. A little bit later in the text, which I forgot to photocopy, it's on the next page. It says he went by his journeys, and journeys is in the plural. Masa'av l'shon rabin, in the plural. Shehem shtei masa'ot. There are two kinds of journey. And this is something that applies to Abraham and it applies to all of us. There's a journey mimata lamaila, from below to above, or mimamaila lamata, and from above to below. Okay, so this is what we're going to explore, the idea of these two journeys, from below to above and above to below, in the case of Abraham and in our case. Ubeinyan alicha milamaila lamata. As regards the journey from above to below, Mamshichu Mavayasham, it explains there in Torah Or by Rabbi Shneur Zalman. The Avram, the word Avram means Avram. If you just divide the word in two, Av, what does Av mean?
It's a father.
Father. And what does Ram mean?
It's a family. It's the family.
Many.
Many. Many.
Ram or high?
High. High. Ram usually means high. Okay. Ram means high. The normal translation of the word Ram means high.
I think of Rav.
Yeah, Rav. Yeah, Rav would be many. Yeah.
Ram is exalted.
Yeah, Ram is exalted. Ram al kol goyim Hashem. Hashem is exalted above all nations. So Avram means exalted father. Now, what does exalted father mean? When it says father in Kabbalistic texts, it means chokhmah, wisdom. And so this Avram means, as it's explained there in Torah Or, seichel ha-ne'elam. You see this, the hidden intellect, which is hidden mikol rayon, which is beyond any idea. So it's a very exalted level of intellect. So Av Ram, exalted intellect. Right? So it's like a Kabbalistic level. It's a very exalted level. Umadrega zu, but this level, tzalich lelechet melamayla lamata, has to come from above down, ad sheba el haaretz hasheareka, till it comes to the land which I will show you, v'chinat malchut, into the spiritual quality of malchut. Now, you see, atzacha, this exalted intellect, is something very, very exalted. Then you've got Atzacha. Atzacha, lech lecha, go from your land. Me'atzacha, that's sometimes explained as ratzon, will. So you've got the level of will. And then you've got umi beit avicha, from the house, umi moladetecha, that is like your birthplace, that is like wisdom and understanding. Yes, will is keter in crown, in the Kabbalistic terminology. And then you've got wisdom and understanding, which are the two next spherot, which is Moladetecha, your birthplace. Mibeit Avicha is like the midot, the emotions. And then finally, to the land which I will show you, which is Malchut, kingship. And then, from kingship, it comes actually to this world. So finally we reach this world. So this is a movement downwards, a movement of something very exalted coming down. What is moving down? It's Avram himself. Avram is this extreme mystic. He's in some supernal spiritual realm. And what God wants of him is that he should come down.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, so we're looking at Lech Lecha, and Avram is Avram. The idea is that Lech Lecha means a movement from above downwards and from below upwards. So far we're just looking at the first one, which is above downwards. That Avram means exalted father, which is explained as exalted Seichel HaNe'elam Mikol Rayon, the intellect which is beyond any idea, like an exalted intellect. And this then comes through Me'atzecha, from your land, Eretz Loshon Ratzon, like will, which is Keter, and then Mibeit Avicha, Mimoladetecha, from your birthplace, which is like is explained as wisdom and understanding, Avem, Moledet, birthplace. Then Beit Avicha is understood as the Midot, the emotions. El Aretz, to the land, which is Malchut, kingship, till it really reaches this world itself. Va'ad le'eretz kipshuta, till it reaches this world. That's six lines down at the beginning. And we're up to the word omnam. Six lines now. Omnam, however, av shalicha zul bivchinat yirida milamayla lemata, even though this movement is a descent from above to below, mikol makom, nonetheless, harei al yedei yirida zu, by means of this movement downwards, nitosaf ilui ba'avram, there is an additional positive thing which is added to Avram, that his name gets changed. Shenikra Shemo Avraham. His name becomes Avraham. Hainush Nitosva Bo'ot Hei. That means the letter Hei is added to his name, which we have later on in the Sedra. Ki Av Hamon Goyim Netaticha, because God says to him, I'm giving you the letter Hei, because you are the father of many nations. Koloma, which means, Dimishum sheyarad lamata, since he descended below. Here we have Avram in this state of exalted mystical communion with the divine, beyond the world. And what God is saying to him is that you have to communicate. It's not enough for you to be in this state of spiritual communion with infinity. You have to somehow come down, down, down the Madrigot, lower and lower, until you're able to communicate with the Hamon Goyim, with the many nations as well. Koloma, which means to say, Dimishum sheyarad lamata, since he descended below, liyot av hamon goyim, in order to be the father, the teacher of many nations, as he was, he taught people about the oneness of God. Lefichach, therefore, something was added to him. Nitosfa bo ot hei, the letter hei was added to his name. Now, it's interesting, the way it looks at it here. Is this a reward that the letter Hey is added to his name? Or is it a precondition that in order to reach down to such a low level, he has to have something very exalted added to him? Ki bechdei laredet lamata yoter, because in order to reach a much lower level, tzarich sheyumshach bo madrega la'alit yoter, there has to flow into him a very exalted level. Ubedugmat hechacham, like the example of a sage, shekashehu tzarich lashpia lekatan, when he has to teach a younger person or a person who is less knowledgeable than him, harehu tzarich lebinayitecha kedei lashpia, he needs some kind of extra dimension of understanding in order to be able to teach at that lower level. You can have a person doing a PhD in mathematics, and he's doing some complicated thing, you know, number theory, whatever it might be. And there's his little niece or nephew, you know, 5 years old, says, "Oh, what are you researching?" So he says, "I can't explain it to you. It's too complicated." But you could have another kind of situation. It's not a person writing a PhD. It's a professor of mathematics, a famous professor of mathematics. And his little grandchild says, "What are you teaching about?" He says, "I'll explain it to you. Imagine," and he finds a way to explain to a little child this very complicated mathematical theory in ways which the child can understand and which in fact is true to the very essence of the theory. That's because he's a greater scholar of mathematics. Because he's got a greater and deeper understanding, he's able to explain on a lower level. So that's the thing, that in order for Abraham to reach right down into the many nations, right, Avhamon Goyim, in order to do that, he had to have the addition of a higher level added to him, which is able to come down so far, which is the letter He. And when the letter He is added to him, then he's able to come right down. He's able to bring this wisdom right down to the lowest level. Right. The Yesh Chachamim Gedolim now goes on explaining this image. There are great scholars, She'ein b'yocholtam la'shpia l'mata m'madregatam. They're not able to teach anyone who is lower than their own level. They can talk to a fellow scholar, but they can't talk to someone who's not in that field. V'davka Shlomo HaMelech, but Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, Shahaya Chacham Mikol Adam, who was wiser than all men, Lachein Ne'ah, and women even. Doesn't say about women, but we'll assume it includes women. Can't assume too much. Lachein Ne'ah Bo, therefore it says about him, Vayedaber Shloshet Alafim Mashal. He said 3,000 mashalim, 3,000 parables. Now, normally, when you read the biblical text where it says this, in Malachim Aleph, in the book of Kings, and it's when speaking about King Solomon, it says he spoke 3,000 mashalim, 3,000 parables or proverbs. The book of Mishlei is written by King Solomon, and we explain Mishlei as meaning proverbs, like sayings. But these 3,000 mashalim are explained in a... See, they're normally understood. If you just read the text of the Bible, of the Tanakh, he said a parable about this, and he said a parable about that, and he said a parable about something else. And altogether, there were 3,000 parables. But Chabad Hasidic teaching doesn't take it that way. From the earliest generations, probably rooted in some earlier Kabbalistic texts, they're all parables for the same thing. The 3,000 parables are 3,000 what we might call a model. You have a very, very subtle idea, and so in order to explain that subtle idea, you make a model. So, for example, you know, there might be some very, very subtle concept. So a person makes a mathematical model which will explain that subtle concept. You look at the mathematical model, unless you know, very sophisticated kind of math, you don't understand that mathematical model at all. So then there's a simpler model which is made so that you can understand the mathematical model. And then there's a simpler one. So his exalted ideas, King Solomon's, come down 3,000 steps lower and lower, so as to be able to explain his very exalted idea on a level so that a little child would be able to understand. Which means he brought the idea, the subtle idea that he's thinking, 3,000 steps down. Uvechol madriga, and every step down, hayat tzarich lalbisho, he had to enclose the idea on the lower level of explaining the idea, b'mashal, in a parable. Shehu davazah, which is really a different concept, it's a model, it's not the actual thing. Hadomeh lanimshal, which in some way is similar to the thing that it's seeking to describe. As we have in many mashalim in the Midrash, we have parables in the Midrash, it's speaking about God, and it compares God to a human king. So a human king is infinitely different to God, but nonetheless there are certain aspects of God that the Midrash tries to explain through the image, through the mashal, the parable of a human king. Now how was King Solomon able to do this? V'hu mishum shahaya bo bina yitecha. He had within him a deeper understanding. Now it's the same here with Abraham. In order that there should be the descent from this exalted, hidden intellect, higher beyond mikol rayon, beyond any kind of idea, very ethereal dimension, to the land which I will show you, Ad sheyeh av hamon goyim, till even he is the father and teacher of many nations, hayetzalich shetetosef bo'ot hey. There had to be the addition of a letter hey, which is something which enables him to make this descent.
Shlomo had 3,000 levels and didn't have any letter added to it. So it was...
Well, he got a special bracha. When he became king, God said to him, what do you want? There was a dream. He said, do you want wisdom or riches or power? Can't remember what the third thing was. And he chose wisdom. So he had a special addition without a letter being added but to his name, but he had a special extra dimension added to him by God. You know, one could say. Incidentally, Shlomo's name is understood to be God's name. So, Melech Shahashalom Shalom, the king who has peace. So, even the question is raised, if one is in a place where you can't say the name of God, like in the mikveh, and you have a friend called Shlomo, can you call him, hey Shlomo, here's a towel. I think you can. But like the question is right, because Shlomo is actually a divine. It's
Abraham is also. You could understand it as a more than Abraham.
As a reference to God.
Yes.
Well, you could, but not. It's not usually used in that sense. I mean, Abraham usually just means Abraham before his hay was had. But certainly there's a sense. Nachmanides, Ramban says the whole Torah is names of God. So the stories in the Torah are really just a stream of names of God and the commandments. So it's all names.
I don't understand why it needed this extra hay. It needed something to go down. You could give him a. It could be. It doesn't need to be of an extra letter.
You're right. It could have been in some other way.
Yes. And as a matter of fact, I think the hay is explained in different ways.
Certainly. I mean, another problem with this point that the Maimer, that the discourse is making, is that the hay is only added towards very much later on in his life.
Whereas, in fact,
the work of teaching and communication already began right at the beginning of the Sedra. Or even before the Sedra. Because it says in the Sedra, at the beginning of the Sedra, that Avram and Sarah went, Vahanefesh asher asu b'charan. And Rashi says, what does that mean? It means the souls whom they went
with them.
That's right. And they had inspired them. Avram taught the men and Sarah taught the women. So they'd already begun this work of teaching people, reaching the people of their time who were idolaters and so on, and they were teaching them about monotheism. So what does it mean that the hay is needed in order to achieve this? Maybe to achieve it on a further level. It could be, you see, there was a moment when it seemed as if, by the fact of reaching downwards, something great is revealed for the person as a kind of a reward, or as, you know, there's a phrase the Rebbe would often quote, Meyer Einei Shneihem Hashem. God illuminates the eyes of both of them. When the Rebbe was encouraging people to teach in different ways, Hafatzat HaYadut, the spreading of Jewish teaching, Hafatzat HaMayanot, the spreading of the fountains of Hasidic teaching, there were people who said, I'm a Rosh Yeshiva. What do I have time to go and speak with someone about some simple aspect of Judaism? I need to stay in my yeshiva and discuss very complicated things. So perhaps in answer to that kind of resistance, the Rebbe pointed out, Meyer Einei Shneihem Hashem, that God illuminates the eyes of both of them, that if A is teaching B, and A may be very knowledgeable compared with B, but A will discover more wisdom himself through that teaching. As there's another famous passage in the Talmud, Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti, I've learned from all my teachers. Go on. You can remember it. Umi Talmidai. And I've learned from all my teachers, Umi Talmidai, and from my pupils, Yoter Mikulam, more than anyone. So the process of teaching is itself a learning process.
Where is this from? Pirkei Avot.
I don't remember it in Pirkei Avot, but it's a Talmudic saying. Could be that it is in Pirkei Avot. Do you remember it in Pirkei Avot, then?
I remember Mikol Melamdai Hiskalti, but not from where.
No, but a moment's look on a digital Talmud will immediately reveal.
It's Talmud, isn't it?
No. That not.
Okay.
Sugazun.
Thank you.
Okay. Sugazun.
Again, thank you.
So there we have the whole idea of Avraham getting some kind of extra illumination in order to achieve the process of this teaching. You could say, in answer to the question about this letter Hey being added towards the end of his life, or at a later stage in his life, that in fact there were stages in this process, and he was gradually, later on, this discourse refers to a passage by the Rambam, where the Rambam is talking about Avraham and Abraham, and there are different stages in his life, and at each stage he's reaching a higher level of understanding of God, and a higher level of this and that. So you could say that the letter Hey is added at a particular stage in this whole process of getting some kind of upper illumination in order to teach. It's interesting that the teaching process involves a certain kind of inspiration at any level. You know, a classroom teacher teaching geography. That's, you know, there you have a good, attentive classroom. And, you know, the adverts in the underground when they're trying to get teachers to join the teaching industry. So they show the excitement, the inspiration that the teacher can get from, an enthusiastic 14-year-old. You know, where can you get such a wonderful experience anywhere else? You know? So the teacher gets inspired, and through that inspiration, the teaching process moves. Now that is the whole movement. That's the first kind of movement. Lech lecha. It's as if it's lech lech. It's as if it's move and move, but with two directions. One is above to below. which we've spoken about now, and now we're going to speak about below to above. The inyan ha'alicha shalemata lemaila, and the idea of moving from below to above, muva bidrushei chasidut, is brought in the Hasidic teachings, but Parsha Lech Lecha, about this Parsha. Let's just miss out the brackets. Third line down. V'chein hu gam aperush ha-pashut, and this is also the simple explanation. B'ma she-katub lech lecha, what does it say, lech lecha? Go for yourself. De'ein mikcha yotze midei pshuto. The verse never leaves its simple meaning. A wonderful concept of the sages, that with all the different possibilities of the Midrashic explanation, and the Kabbalistic explanation, the Hasidic explanation, this, that, and the other, with notoricon and gematria and all kinds of different systems of revealing all kinds of wonderful ideas, the verse never leaves its simple meaning, and it's always got a simple meaning as well. What's the simple meaning? He was going from his land, from the place where he was born, from his father's house. That means from Haran, which is in the east, somewhere in the Jordan, Iraq, which is called in the Midrash Shehu Charon Af Shel Makom. It's the place of the anger of God. Makom means God. Ba'olam, in the world. So in other words, it was a very negative and problematic place.
Haran.
Yes. Like relating to the word charonaf, anger. So it was a negative place. So me'ur kazdim, Ur of the Chaldees. Yes, of the Chaldeans. They have archaeological finds from Ur kazdim in the British Museum. So, there you see, you are, it's spelled. And so coming from a place like that, which is considered morally low place, Ela aretz asher areka, to the land which I will show you. Now that's the land of Israel. Now the land of Israel sounds very beautiful, but in fact at that time, va'af she'az haita zu eretz Canaan, even though at this point, that land was still called the land of Canaan, Kamosha Katuv, as it says actually in the Sedra here, on the second page, which I didn't photocopy. Vahaknani Oz Ba'aretz, that the Canaanites were then still in the land. They were actually coming into the land. That's an interesting thing. Not they were still, but they were coming into the land. It's a whole
why do you say they were coming into the land?
That's what Rashi explains, and that's what we're going to look at. This is the difference between Spinoza's interpretation and Ibn Ezra to the traditional interpretation. So the traditional interpretation is, as Rashi says, Hare Pirish Rashi, we go over the page to page 54. Rashi explains Shahakanani hayaholech v'chovesh az, the Canaanites, were then coming in and conquering this land. Et eretzu, this land. V'adayin hayta arzo shel Shem. But in fact, the land was still the land belonging to Shem. You see, this land was given to Shem, to the son of Noah, called Shem. There was Ham, Shem, and Yafet. Canaan is a son of Ham. But the land of Israel was given to Shem. The only problem is that the children of the descendants of Canaan are now the Canaanites, and they are conquering this land. They're moving into this land. And so therefore, when it says Va'kanani az ba'aretz, it's taken as they are now coming into the land. They're coming into the land, conquering it from Shem. However, nonetheless, so we see that on the one hand, when it says that Avram is coming to this land, okay, it's the Canaanites are there, they have conquered it, or they are conquering it from Shem. Shem doesn't seem to have a great population to fill up this land. But nonetheless, the land is on a spiritual level. And even when it really became the land of Canaan, Begam Kesha Haita Eretz Canaan, when it was fully in the possession of the Canaanites, Harezeh Shelo Be'erech Lemaila, it's still infinitely exalted, Meharan Ume'or Kasdim, compared with Haran and Ur of the Chaldeans. So, in other words, it's something very special to go to the land of Israel before the Jews built anything there, or there were any revelations there. It's still something very special. It's still the sacred land. Ukmoshe katuv, as it's written, Be'ever hana yashvu avoteichem. Across the river your ancestors lived. This is in Joshua when he is telling the people about their history. And what does it mean across the river? Dunosaf la perush lemalyuta, there's a positive way of explaining this across the river. That when he says across the river, he means this exalted intellect which is across the river, it's in the beyond. There's also known a negative explanation of across the river. As that verse in Joshua ends, your ancestors lived across the river and they served idols. So in other words, being across the river is a way of saying in a very low moral place. The Terach, the father of Abraham, haya oved avodah zarah, he served idols. Va'avraham, and according to the Midrash, Avraham haya mashabed salmei aviv. Abraham would break the idols of his father. There's the famous story that Abraham was left in charge of the shop. His father was an idol dealer, not just a idol idolater, but an idol dealer, which already gives a certain objective perspective of the whole situation. And Abraham was left in charge of the shop, and he was a rebellious child, he was campaigning for monotheism, and so he took an axe and he chopped up all the small idols and he put the axe in the arm of the biggest idol. And his father comes home very up and sees what's going on. Thousands of pounds lost down the drain. What's going on? You could sell them in Bond Street today, or to the British Museum. So his father was very angry, and Avram said, "Well, what are you angry about? The big, it wasn't my fault. The big idol took the axe. There was an argument. The big idol took the axe and chopped them all up." So his father said, "The big idol's made of wood. What do you mean it chopped everything up? It can't move." So Abraham said, "So why do you worship it?" So the Midrash doesn't say, but you know, his father might have said, "Well, I worship him, it's business." But anyway, then the Midrash goes on that he was, his father lost all hope for him and reported him to Nimrod, and Nimrod threw him in a furnace. Miraculously, he was saved. So, there's... But anyway, he was in this situation. In fact, the Rambam says, when he's describing the life of Avraham, in the laws of idolatry, by the Rambam, Hilchot Avodah Zarah, in his book Mishnei Torah, he wants to explain what is idolatry, how did idolatry begin, and how did the counter to idolatry begin. So he's describing the life of Ram, and he said Avram was a child brought up to serve idols. He served idols like everyone else. Then he began thinking about the whole situation, and he went beyond idols in his thinking, and he went higher and higher in his understanding of God. V'zeu lech lecha melamata lemaile. That's what it means. Go for yourself from below to above. Da'acharei she'pa'al et shvirat ha'tzlamim bebeit aviv. After he had achieved the breaking of the idols in the house of his father, Uva Moladato, and in his birthplace, Harei Achazer, after that, Haya Holech El Eretz Hashem Areka, then he went to the land which God would show him, El Eretz Yisrael, to the land of Israel. Vayikcha Sham B'Shem Hashem, and there he called on the name of God, Keil Olam. Now, Keil Olam could be translated eternal God, or could be translated God of the world. Or beperush Rashi, As Rashi explains over here, the biyotov beit aviv, when he was in the house of his father, hayarak elokei ha-shamayim, God was the God of heaven, not the God of the world, but the God of heaven. Haynu sha'alam u'metziut bifnei atzmo, that means that the world is an existence of a separate kind. V'ha-kadosh baruch hu, hukeil ha'olam, and God is the God of the world, but the world and God are two different things. Because God is really the God of heaven. There's the world, and God is the master of the world. Fine. But the world and God are different. V'acha kach pa'al, but afterwards Abram achieved, through his own perception of godliness, through his teaching about God, sheyeh gam elokei ha'aretz, that God should be the God of the world, the God of the land, keil olam, not God of the world, keil ha'olam, with a the, but keil olam, that the world and God, sha'olam ve'elokut kol echad, that the world and godliness are completely one. So, ukemosh katav Rambam b'seida avodat Avraham avinu ba'olam. When, as the Rambam explains in the Laws of Idolatry, when he's speaking about the pattern and the process of Avraham's avodah of Hashem in the world. So, in other words, the movement from below to above is the movement from a negative place, from Haran, from an idolatrous situation, towards the sacred land of Israel. So there's the movement from above to below, the communication on the lower level, and the movement from below to above is, on a practical sense, moving from a place which is on a low spiritual level to the exalted holiness of the land of Israel. V'nishnei ha-perushim, now the next paragraph, page 54. Now these two explanations, shayachim u'kshurim bezebeze, they actually connect together. Va'inyan hu, and the thing is as follows. Dibechdei shetiyeh hayarida milamayla lamata. In order there should be the descent from above to below, miseichel anele mikol rayon ad lamata mata, from the exalted intellect beyond any idea, right down below to the very lowest level. Tzarich al zeh netinat koach mimadrega na'alit. There has to be some kind of prompting, some kind of inspiring activation from an exalted level. Asher zeh, now this actually probably answers our discussion before. This netinat koach, this point of inspiration, this triggering off of the energy to communicate below, nasal yedei ha'aliyah shelifnei zeh melemata lemayla, comes from the rising which came before this, moving from below to above. V'davka al yedei zeh yachol eredet achar kach lemata lemata mata. And it's davka because of this, that this flow can then move from above to below. So that means that in order to set this whole process, in order to activate this whole process, Abram has to make a move. Now, the very beginning of the move, I mean, I would say the breaking of the idols in his father's shop, that's the beginning of his move to a higher level. And then they start moving, and they go to Haran. That's already a part of the movement. And he gets married, and he goes on moving, and he and Sarah are now teaching people. They are making a movement, and the power of that movement, the inspiring effect of that movement, enables them to have the power to reach down. So the hasazah, the movement has to be in yourself, and then you're able to communicate to another person. There's a very beautiful Chabad book, which is translated into English, called Principles of Education and Guidance. In Hebrew, it's called Klalei HaChinuch VaAdracha. It's a book that's really 100 years old, but it was first published in 1943. but it existed before then as a, whether as a text or as a series of teachings, which was guidance by the fifth Rebbe to the sixth Rebbe on how to run the yeshiva Tomchei Tmimim, how to run the Lubavitch yeshiva, which was in Russia. How do you change people's viewpoints of the world? And it's how to educate, not how to teach a skill, but how to transform a person's way of looking at the world. It's an extremely interesting book. And it says that a key issue is self-criticism. If you want to change another person's way of looking at the world, you have to have a very strong dose of self-criticism. And you have to be able to make a movement within yourself. When you make a movement within yourself, then your pupil will also be inspired to make a movement forward in the same kind of direction. So the key to communication, as we're hearing here, the key to communication is some kind of inner step.
You mean the same time you make the movement in yourself while you are teaching, or in a process while you are explaining, or
I think it's a total.
This could be.
It's all the time. This is what kind of person you are. You are a person who looks critically at yourself.
You always move ahead.
Yes.
To be able to teach.
Yes. Yes. And the pupil is sensitive to that. You know, pupils are very sensitive, whether this person's a fake, that one's sincere, you know, like, they can tell. And so it's saying, you have to really, in a way, it's saying you have to really live up to the ideals that you're trying to teach, which is not always so easy. So. Now then, Val Yedei, last two lines of this middle paragraph on page 54. Val Yedei Ayirida Lemata, and through the descent below, right, which is the second stage, because first of all, we had the movement upwards. So, before this hay coming, see the hay is like the conclusion of that whole process, or a certain grand revelation of that whole process of the inspiration which enables a person, the divine inspiration which enables a person to communicate. But in the normal way of achieving it is a step from below to above, which helps a person have that spiritual power to be able to communicate. And then what happens? Through the descent below, then one comes to the land which I will show you. And here we come to the other meaning of areka, which I mentioned. I will show and reveal you et Avraham, you Abraham. Through this process, the special quality of Abraham is being revealed. That's the goal. That he is communicating to the many nations, but also his own special quality is being revealed. So it's not just a matter of coming to the sacred land, Ela aretz asher areka, coming to the land which I will show you, that I will show you the land of Israel, but also the land where I will show Otcha, you, with the definite, as the definite object. I will show you, Abraham, I will reveal you, your spirituality, your special quality. Okay, so now we come to the turning of this to each of us, how this is applied to us. The last paragraph on page 54. Now the same as this was with Abraham himself. Dichtiv be of whom it says, Echad hay Avraham. Avraham was unique. V'nikra Avraham Ivri, and he's called Abraham the Hebrew. Now the word Ivri, as we saw before, it means being across the river. Shekol ha'olam kulo be'ever echad. The whole world is on one side of the river, v'hu me'ever echad, and he's on the other side of the river. He was a person who was able to stand up for his opinions despite the fact that the whole world was saying something different, which is a very rare and important ideal, that a person should be able to stand up for what is right, even though everyone else is saying something else. So it is with every individual, man and woman. He or she has everything inherited from Abraham, from Abraham our father. וצריך להיות אצלו בעבודה בשני אופנים, and he has to be able, or she has to be able to serve God in these two ways. בתחילת עבודתו בבוקר, the beginning of one's service of God in the morning, בכל יום, every day, הרי הוא עולה מלמטה למעלה בסולם התפילה. One rises up towards God on the ladder of prayer. קריאה שמה, saying the Shema, Tfila, the Amida, the different stages of prayer. Shezoa zohi aliyah b'ilui acha ilui. This is going higher, step after step. V'zeh olech lecha me'atzecha, another last page. This is go for yourself from your land, u'mimoladetecha, from your birthplace, mi'beit abicha, from your father's house. Sheyotze miratzonotav. Remember the idea that Atzachal, your land, is like Ratzon, will. He leaves his ordinary will, umehergalav, and his ordinary habits, umisichlo, and his ordinary mind, umidotav, and his ordinary emotions, v'olel lamalamala, and he goes higher and higher up. So that's the ascent. That's the ascent in the morning. Tfilah. This is when we put it in terms of every individual. Tfilah, the morning prayers, is this step upwards. Va'achakach, alidei netinat koach zu, and after that, through this input of spiritual inspiration, one comes to the other side of service, which is being involved with the world, conducting oneself in the world, in the way of the world. This is a descent from above to below, coming right down in each person, in their own, the context of their own life.
When is this acharkach?
After the tefillah.
In the morning or in the lunchtime or in the evening?
Well, it's going to work. Let's say the person prays in the morning, then goes to work. Now, going to work, one is involved with the world. And it's at this point, going to work, being involved with the world, then that's the descent from above to below into a realm which one is going to illuminate in some way. And through this is revealed the second way of translating areka, I will reveal you. Gilui ma'alato shel kol echad ve'echad Yisrael. The revelation of the spiritual grandeur of every individual Jew. V'gam asher areka, and also the other way of explaining areka, I will show you the land of Israel. I will show you holiness. Gilui elokut. I will show you divine revelations. So that means going through the process of rising up through tefillah and then coming down into the world and being active in the world, there are the possibilities of both revealing one's own spiritual dimension and also discerning divine revelation. Ki al yedei ha'yirda lemata, because through the descent below, hari ole l'shorsho u'mekorvo, one that ascent upwards, lech lecha, go to yourself. The person goes to one's own root, one's own source. Yitera mizu, and even more, the ole lemaile mishorsho u'mekorvo. One goes higher than one's own root and source. Lemaile mishorsho u'mekorvo, higher than the source of all existence. Eile b'shorsho u'mekoho amiti. One comes to one's true root, one's true source. K'mo shekatuv v'aruch tashuv l'elokim asher netana. As it says, the spirit returns to God who gave it. Shezeu amitit inyan ha'tshuva. And that's what repentance is. So the highest level of tefillah is really tshuva, repentance, and that repentance brings one to the highest and most exalted level above. And through that one is able to come down into this, right into the world. So that is the process of service of God. Reaching upwards and then bringing that illumination downwards. And that's the constant process. In our activity, our interactions with other human beings, we have always got this spiritual power that we are able to reveal something positive, reveal something spiritual in a positive and in a wholesome way. And this also brings to us, Meir Einei Shneim Hashem, God reveals, illuminates the eyes of both of them, that brings divine revelations as well. Now we're in the last paragraph. V'hin al yedei avoda b'shnei kavim elu. Now through service in these two pathways, going from below to above and above to below, ba'im la gilui de la'atid lavo, we come to the revelation of the future. D'chtiv bei, of which it says, God says, v'hitalachti b'tochechem, I will walk among you. And the word hitalachti, it's like a double form. Not halachti, not I will walk, v'halachti, but v'hitalachti, this hitpa'el. And the hitpa'el is shnei minei hiluch, is two kinds of movement. Two kinds of movement. And then we have another phrase, v'olech etchem komemiyut, I will bring you upright. Komemiyut is an interesting phrase. I will bring you upright into the land of Israel. And upright is shtei komot. It's two words, koma, like upright in a double way. Shezeu alidei ma'aseinu v'avodateinu, and this is through our service, b'meshach zman ha'galut b'miuchad, especially during the time of exile. U'befchad b'ikvata d'mashiach, and especially as the time approaching the time of Mashiach. V'alidei zeh ba'im el ha'aretz asher alech, and through this we come to the land which I will show you. Dilu elokut b'pchinat re'iya, the revelation of godliness in a way of seeing, that God will show us. K'mo shekatuv, as it says, v'lo yikanif od morhecha, your teacher, God, will not be hidden, v'li levushim, without garments, that we will see godliness all around us. As it says in the Zohar, about the giving of the Torah, which whichever way we looked, we could see godliness being expressed. And in fact, this already was me'ein zeh, something similar to this, b'shat matan Torah, at the time of the giving of the Torah, shahay b'vchinat re'iya, which was in a way of seeing. Aval zeh ha'yarak me'ein ha'gilui de la'atid levo, but the giving of the Torah was only something like the tremendous revelation that will be in the future. U'la'atid levo, may it be today, Yehakol b'vchinat re'iya. Everything will be in the way of sight. K'vavur barucha b'shar ha'emunah. There's a misprint here. It should be shar with a resh, not shar with a hay. As it says in the book called Gate of Faith, which is a book by the second Lubavitcher Rebbe, and there it speaks about this idea that in the future everything will be through sight. There will be divine revelations and wisdom revealed through sight. The limud haTorah le'atid lavo, that the study of Torah in the future, yeh b'vchinat chi'iya, will be through a way of seeing. Well, does that mean computer screens? Money. Okay, the Gate of Faith was written in 1820. And this is achieved through the service with the two kinds of movement now. And the two kinds of movement, they cover, in fact, a very tangible part of our activities as Jews. They are Torah and mitzvot. The Torah in Yanam ilamayla lemata. Torah is a movement from above to below. We are learning what Hashem tells us. כמו שכתוב, as it says, מן השמיים ישמיעו את קולו, God made his voice heard from the heavens, down below, ומצוות, and when we do a mitzvah, עניינם העלת הדברים הגשמים, we're lifting up physical things, למעלה, above, כמבואה בתורה או בתחילתו, as explained in Torah. ועל ידי זה, so you do a mitzvah with something, you're elevating that thing. ועל ידי זה, and through that, באים, we come, לקיום הייעוד, we come to that appointment, to that moment, והולך אתכם קוממיות. God says, I will lead you upright, that means with both qualities, the movement from above to below, and the movement from below to above, והייתי לכם ללקים. And I will be God for you, says God. Bimheira b'yameinu mamash, swiftly in our days.